Okay, I greet you all in Jesus' name this morning. It's been good to be here. I was really struck by the thought of, in Charles's devotions about how that God, in his resurrection of us, you know, he created us from the dust, he gathered us from wherever we are, and that's our resurrection. You know, the power of God to resurrect is amazing, and it's I stand in awe of that. This morning, I'd like to start reading out of Proverbs 1 just a little bit. Proverbs 1 and verse 20 down to 23. Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief places of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and the fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. I like to talk a little bit about choosing wisdom, and maybe what wisdom looks like, and maybe what it is to be, I don't know, not what it is to be wise necessarily, but more of making the choice to be to follow wisdom. As I looked at this, I realized how very little I know about it, and at the same time, I was encouraged to realize that anybody can choose the path of wisdom, no matter how many mistakes you've made or how many foolish decisions you've made. You can follow that path, so it doesn't necessarily follow that you have to be a wise person to make choices or to choose to follow wisdom. And I had to ask the question, what do you think of, or what do I think of when I think of wisdom? Do you think of, what do you think of? I think a lot of times our mind goes to a person or somebody that we know, and we say, that person's wise, he makes wise decisions. And what is it to make, what is it that we're saying about that person? I think we're saying two things about them. We're saying that they know the right decision to make, and maybe even more importantly than that, they have the guts to carry it out. So often I think in my life, when I look at the wrong decisions I've made, I knew the right decision to make. I knew which one was the right one, but I didn't have the guts to carry it out. I didn't have the will to do it that way. And so I think choosing wisdom is knowing the right choice and then following through with that. And, you know, I'd also like to point out that a wise person or a person who chooses wisdom isn't necessarily someone who goes around talking, saying wise things or quoting famous people and their wisdom. It's somebody that knows the choice to make and then follows through with it. So there's hope for me and all of us, because you don't have to be extraordinarily intelligent or you don't have to be old, you don't have to be rich, you can be poor, you can be average, and you can still choose to be wise, choose to follow wisdom. I really like this passage here in Proverbs. It talks about how that wisdom is crying out. It's seeking for us to follow it. And we should also seek it. And, you know, it's almost like as if wisdom is out there waiting to help us. And we just need to reach out and start following it. Do you want to make wise choices? I think that's an easy question, right? We all want to make wise choices. Everybody in the world wants to do that, I think. At the same time, we can probably all look back and say, I see a choice I made that was not wise. And we can look out there and we can see lots of other things that happen from people's choices in the world. You can look in the paper, read the paper, and you'll see right there, as plain as day, many of the things that happen to people because of the choices they made. A lot of front page news comes from that. And I think some of those famous people could be on a poster that says, remember me and choose wisely, have their picture up there because of the things that they've done with their lives, that would be an example to us. So why is it that some people seem to make wise choices and some people seem to make foolish choices? And how do we try to make wise choices in our life? The Bible talks about wisdom, and I think the word wisdom appears in the Bible over 200 times. And a lot of them, of course, are in Proverbs there. And the Bible talks about two paths of wisdom. There's the earthly wisdom. In James, it talks about earthly, sensual, devilish wisdom. And then there's the wisdom from above. Looking again at these verses here in Proverbs, I noticed there in verse 22, it talks about three types of people that don't choose wisdom, or they're devoid of wisdom. They don't have it. And as strange as it may seem, I think there are people that really, in their hearts, don't want it, or they're afraid of it. The first one it talks about there is a simple one who loves simpleness. And maybe these are the people that don't want to deal with the difficult issues of life. They'd rather just be ignorant and not have to deal with them. And so they say, you know, it's too hard for me. Why bother? I'm not going to bother with it. And then there are scorners. They scoff at belief and they say, you know, all I need is what I see. That's what's important. I don't need God. I don't need to follow any sort of path. I just do what I want. And then there's the foolish, it says, who hate knowledge. And maybe these people hate knowledge because the knowledge of God will show them that they're of their sin and will require them to go a different way. So what is the foundation of wisdom? I think we all know that verse in Psalms about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I'd like to read a passage out of Job 28 also here. If you want to turn there, it's Job 28, and I'm going to start at verse 20 and just read down to the end of the chapter there. So I think the beginning of wisdom is very simple. Job 28, verse 20 says, "Whence then cometh wisdom, and where is the place of understanding? Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living, and kept close from the fowls of the air. Destruction and death say, We have heard the fame thereof with our ears. God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. For he looketh to the ends of the earth, and seeth under the whole heaven, to make the weight for the winds, and he weigheth the waters by measure. When he made a decree for the rain, and a way for the lightning of the thunder, then did he see it and declare it. He prepared it, yea, and searched it out. And unto man he said, Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." So it's really simple to start on the path of wisdom, is to acknowledge God. And that's a simple step, it may seem, and yet there's many, many people who won't take that first step. You know, reading through this, we see how God's wisdom created the world, how he understands every part of it. He created us. And who else would we look to as wise except for our Creator? Doesn't it make sense that the one who created us, one who designed us and all the world, that he would have the key to wisdom? In Psalm 104:24, it says, "O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches." So imagine the wisdom of God that created the world. It's his wisdom, it says, that created the world. So we start with the foundation of God as the source of wisdom. And now I'd like to turn to the New Testament in James 3, and I'm going to read out of James 3, starting at verse 13, and look a little bit. It talks about godly wisdom and earthly wisdom, and a little bit of contrast there between the two. James 3:13, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation." And The American Standard says, by his good life, his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in them, is sown in peace of them that make peace. So looking a little closer at this, there's nine things that wisdom, that the godly wisdom is on these verses. And it's a pretty tough list to follow all the way through, but I'd like to just point those out real quick. Number one is that wisdom leads to good fruit in our lives. Talks about that in verse 13. A good conversation, or by his good life. Number two, wisdom is meek. I think it means that God controls the person that's wise. He's letting God work through him. Number three, true wisdom is pure. It's from God. It's pure. You know, the world has its own version of wisdom, but it's full of all sorts of half-truths and those kind of things. Number four, wisdom is peaceable. Number five, it's gentle. Number six, it's easily entreated. I think it means that it's not stubborn and unfeeling when dealing with people. It forgives easily. Number seven, it's merciful. Number eight, it's impartial. So it's not proud. It's not jealous. It's not saying, I'm up here and you're down there and that sort of thing. That's not wisdom. I found this quote from a man. It says, knowledge is proud that he has learned so much. Wisdom is humble that he knows no more. So wisdom is humble because it realizes that, you know, it realizes where we are and how we really should be viewing ourselves in through God's eyes. And the last one, wisdom is not hypocritical. So wisdom isn't saying wise things and talking about wise things, but then living something else. So that's a big list, you know, of things that wisdom is, and it's maybe not going to be the easiest thing to follow, but it's something we can strive for. I'd like to look at a few contrasts, too, between earthly wisdom and godly wisdom. And I just wrote these down from my head. I don't have a verse for each one of these, but this is something that I think the world says to us, and maybe something the world says to us, and we have to confront it and say, that's earthly wisdom, and godly wisdom says something else. So earthly wisdom says, everyone else is doing it, so it must be right. Godly wisdom isn't about what sounds good or what's popular, but it's seeking God, and sometimes you're going to look foolish. You know, it says in 1 Corinthians that the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish. But then it says that God hath made foolish the wisdom of the world. So, you know, from the world's eyes, our wisdom, the godly wisdom, is going to be foolish probably. But that doesn't mean that it's true. Earthly wisdom says, I don't believe in God because Christians are hypocrites. But the truth is that even if all the hypocrites, or even if all the Christians that ever lived were hypocrites, that wouldn't change God's law, God's requirements. Earthly wisdom says, once you get there and have it, whether it's riches or fame or power or whatever, then you've got it made. You know, there's a saying out there that maybe you've heard. It says, been there, done that, bought the t-shirt. And, you know, what are people really saying when they say that? They're saying, I tried that, I did it, I experienced it, but you know, it didn't really last, it wasn't anything that impressed me for very long, didn't bring me happiness, so I'm going to the next thing. Wisdom is realizing that all the riches, fame, power, all the possessions that you have in the world are really not going to make you happy or save you or any of those things. That's only in Christ that you can have that. Earthly wisdom says, I'll do it my way since I know what's best for me. Proverbs 14 verse 8 says, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. It talks about a man who understands who he is and sees himself through God's eyes, realizes that he's a needy person. But the fool, he looks at himself and says, I'm not that bad. I'm okay. I can get by. I can do it my way and I'll be all right. But godly wisdom is realizing that our heart is deceitful and wicked at its core, and we have to allow God to work through us. You know, man wants to, in his earthly wisdom, he wants to remove God from existence. He wants to say, I don't need God. The Big Bang, that's the most powerful thing in the world. Or some religion that that I'm in charge of, or maybe some New Age religion. But God knows best. He knows that we desperately need salvation. He knows that better than even we do. And when you think about it, man has done some pretty foolish things in life. And I just looked up a couple things that that were amazing to me about man and his supposed wisdom. Now, these are natural, scientific type things, but still, it makes man look pretty foolish sometimes. For instance, in 1999, there was two teams of engineers for the company Lockheed Martin, and they were working on a orbiter to go to Mars. And this orbiter ended up costing $125 million. They sold it to NASA. The problem was, one team of engineers used the metric system, and the other team used the system we use, inches and feet or whatever, and the two systems didn't work together, and so they lost control of the thing, and it went out into space and was lost. So $125 million went down the drain because very foolish thing to do, but they did it. And I think about the tsunami that happened in Japan. Such a terrible thing that it killed 19,000 people. And you know, Japan was the modern, the model for efficiency in electricity with their nuclear reactors and so on. And everybody looked to them as, you know, these are the people that have it together. And yet this tsunami, this wave that was 100 feet high in some places, destroyed that, and all their fail-safe systems, their generators, and all their backup plans couldn't control this. And, you know, the wisdom of man thinks it has it under control. They think they have control, but they don't. And a simple wave that God knows all about. God measured the waters, it says, and he has the wisdom that we need. And one more thing I just noticed, this was interesting. It said, this was printed in the Boston Post in 1865. I think it's talking about a telephone, maybe. Well-informed people know it is impossible to transmit the voice over wires, and that were it possible to do so, the thing would be of no practical value. So I know almost all of you have cell phones. And in 1865, it would have been of no practical value, they say. So earthly wisdom is fairly limited. Earthly wisdom says that if it's fun, just do it. Don't worry about the consequences. Wisdom is realizing that what you sow, you're going to reap. And to paraphrase Romans 6:16, whoever you submit yourselves in obedience to, you're their servant, whether it's to sin and ultimately death, or whether it's to God and righteousness. Earthly wisdom says live for today. It's all there is. Godly wisdom helps us to realize that our eternal destiny is tied up with what we do today. And Psalm 90 verse 12 says, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So worldly wisdom might teach you what's best for your bank account or what feels good now, and because after all, you've only got one life to live. But godly wisdom will teach you what to do to prepare for eternity. You know, the Israelites, they asked for a king, and God said, you know, they're rejecting me by asking for a king. They looked at what they wanted now. They looked at the benefits of having a king in the short term. They wanted somebody to rule over them. But their first king, Saul, turned into a tyrant, and ever after that, the Israelites were subject to their kings, who many times were very wicked. If they had just sought God and looked at the future, realized that that was really not the best choice, that wouldn't have happened. I had to think of Jim Elliot and his friends who died in Ecuador. And, you know, he said, he is no fool who loses what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. So he lost his life to gain eternal life. And, you know, the world thought that was foolish. There he was. He died. These Indians killed him, him and his friends. It looked like a foolish thing to do, but it was wisdom in God's plan. And, you know, there's countless people today that have been influenced and for a good, influenced to go out and reach out to people because of this man and his friends who gave their lives up to help some native people who just killed them. Earthly wisdom says, you're just one step ahead of the apes. So what's the result of that wisdom? You know, the Nazis based their doctrine on Darwinism. And we know the horrible things that came from that. I had to think of the shootings in school and the drug abuse and stuff like that, you know. That comes from a wisdom that teaches that, you know, you're just an animal. You're just a little bit above the apes. And like Josh mentioned last Sunday, people search for significance in their lives. And if the most significant thing about them is that they're an animal, that's how they're going to act. Godly wisdom shows us our great worth and that we're the work of his hand, that we were created by him. God sent his son to die for us. This great price was paid for us. And that should bring us, that should show us what our value is to God. You know, we have a great value. God sent his only son to die for us. What a huge statement about our worth that is. And in closing, I thought, you know, maybe we could look at wise choices like a Y in our path. There's the straight path that goes ahead, and then there's the little angling path that goes the other direction just a little bit. When you choose the wise choice, you're going straight ahead on that straight way. When you choose the unwise choice, you're veering off just a little bit. And, you know, God probably doesn't cut you off just because you made an unwise choice. But eventually, if you follow that path and you keep making those unwise choices, you might end up going 180 degrees from where you started. And I had to think of Solomon. In all his wisdom, God gave him this wisdom. He asked for it. And eventually, he ended up somewhere I can't imagine he would have ever guessed that he would be led away, or his wives would lead the children of Israel away to worship idols. And because he chose a path of lesser wisdom at some point in his life. And in some ways, it's a discouragement to think of Solomon. In other ways, I have to think it's encouraging to know that we can make the choice of wisdom, whether we've made poor choices in the past or not. We can make that choice to follow wisdom. We don't have to follow this unwise choice to the very end of itself. We can choose to follow wisdom. And we don't have to be, like I said before, we don't have to be smart. We don't have to be good-looking or rich or any of those things. We can be poor, ordinary people, and it doesn't matter. We can still follow the choice to follow wisdom. And I think it's a matter of making little choices often. It's not a matter of many big choices, but it's a matter of little choices. And those little choices come to us every day in our life. So what we want to do is grow in godly wisdom and choose God in everything we do. And that is wisdom. Acknowledging God and choosing God and his way, that's wisdom. I'd like to close with this verse in 2 Peter 3, verse 18. It says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So remember, and I'm reminding myself too, to choose the wise choice and then follow through with it. Not only find out what it is, but to follow through with it. Okay, that's all I have this morning, so let's bow our heads for prayer this time.